Good morning. Am I on here? Can you hear me? Yeah, got me. It's dry up here, eh? I came here dry. I'm a math teacher. So I'm Perry Best from Bancroft and the Great White North. We have a pile of snow still up there. And I was born and raised there. And I taught high school math for 34 years there. And Dolores, 75, that's 50 years ago you had that issue. I did the math quickly. So I can't believe a three-year-old would have so much problem with, trying to do the math in my head quickly. Now, if you want your house fixed, I'm a math teacher. Don't even think about asking me. Dave, ask Dave. If you want your child taught math, go to Dave. Your child might have bruises. I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 5, please. You always want to get the person for the right job, in the right position. Just a little prelude to Luke. Jesus has called the disciples to follow him. And Peter has been following. Jesus has been preaching in his own town. In his own town, he gave beautiful words. They were just amazed at the words coming out of this guy. Isn't that Jesus? Isn't that Mary and Joseph's son? You know, what's he doing? Eventually, he proclaimed the words that he was reading out of the Old Testament. He was fulfilling right then and there. And they did not like that. He's just one of them. Who does he think he is? So they took him to throw him off a cliff. And the whole mob take him. And it is 300 meters high, this cliff. They took him about 2 kilometers. And as they're taking him in the crowd, he just slipped through and walked away. And they get to the cliff and the guy they were going to throw over is not there. So he went to Capernaum. Capernaum is a few miles away on the Sea of Galilee. The Lake of Gennesaret is another name for that. The Sea of Galilee is 13 kilometers wide and about 21 kilometers high, long. So, and it's fairly deep in the middle. So they could make a good living fishing. And that's where Jesus found these fishermen, Peter and his brother Andrew, who introduced Peter to Jesus. And then James and John were partners. Follow me. Well, that's where our story sets off today in Luke chapter 5. It's just interesting, just before that also, Jesus has been visiting Peter and his mother-in-law was really sick. No, I'm fine. I'm good and dry. Thank you. So Peter has a mother-in-law, which means Peter has a wife. Okay. And there are certain people that believe that Peter might not have had a wife, but right in Scripture, it's there. And think of all those mother-in-law jokes, like Henny Youngman. I don't know if you remember Henny Youngman, like from 70 years ago, he said about his mother-in-law, he loved his mother-in-law. He bought her a great big wooden chair for Christmas, but his wife wouldn't let him plug it in. So that was his line. My mother-in-law, I love my mother-in-law. She defends me from her daughter. So I appreciate my mother-in-law so much. Now, Jesus has come from, this is the circumstances, chapter 5. We go into chapter 5, and let's start reading chapter 5 of Luke. The people are starting to follow Jesus. They're starting to see who this guy is. He's just healed a man who was demon-possessed. In those days, the temple was in Jerusalem, but the people couldn't travel every Saturday, which was their day of worship. They couldn't travel every day to the temple, so they had synagogues in little villages. And the synagogue that Jesus went to in Capernaum, there was a demon-possessed man there, and Jesus threw the spirit out of the demon-possessed man, and the people are amazed. So they're starting to follow him, and they're amazed by his teaching. So verse 1 of chapter 5 of Luke. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret. They're pressing around him. He's on the shore. Actually, Peter, James, and John, the fishermen, are over to the side. And the people are coming, and he's getting pushed back further and further. The people are crowding to him. And verse 2, he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. Verse 3, and he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. Now, Simon's name has been changed to, anybody know? Peter, very good. But he's referred to as Simon here. He's gone back to fishing, even though Jesus has called him. And he asked Simon to put out a little distance from the land. So he's going to make it. Have you ever been on the shore and people in a boat go by and you can hear every word they say? Sometimes you wish you hadn't heard what they were saying, but you do. Jesus was using this. He's going to push out from shore just a little bit, and the words that he would speak would be much more clearly heard. So asked to be put out a little distance. Peter, put me out a little distance from the land. And he sat down and continued teaching the crowds from the boat. And that's what they did back then. If you went to the synagogue, the preacher would sit down and the crowd would stand up. I think that's a good idea. So here's the situation. You can picture it. People are crowding in on Jesus. He's getting pushed further and further back up against the water. Peter, help me. Push me out from shore. Peter is busy, but he stops what he's doing. He obeys. He pushes Jesus out into the water. And then Jesus has his audience. He sat down, continued teaching the crowds from the boat. Verse 4. Now when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. So he'd finished speaking. It's interesting, the fishermen that he's called are sitting off to the side cleaning their nets, but they can hear. We need to hear God's word. Now, I'm not a fisherman. I like hockey, I like tennis, basketball, football's my favorite. Fishing, hunting. I couldn't shoot anything unless it was a student. All those years of teaching. I loved my students, most of them. So fishing, I have no idea about fishing, but I remember Red Green said that he caught a fish. He said it was about that far from the dock. That was the size, but it was that big. So now, back then, apparently, the fishermen fished in the Sea of Galilee. They would fish at night. They fished at night. Why would that be? I think I know why it is. Maybe a fisherman can correct me, but the fish, it's so hot there, the fish in the daytime would go to the depths to keep cool. I think that's the reasoning. And in the nighttime, they would come out and explore their surroundings. So that's when the fishermen would fish. So fishermen had the night shift, you might say. So they've been fishing all night. And verse 4, Jesus says to Peter, or to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Now this is interesting. Simon responded and said, Master, so he was their teacher, Master, and it's not Lord at this point, it's Master. And he said, we worked hard all night, we got nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets. Now, if you want me to build a house, you've come to the wrong person. And here's Peter, a great fisherman. He's got his own business, he's got his own boat. He knows fishing, and he's been out all night and nothing. Nothing at all. And then along comes this teacher, this rabbi. Does anybody know what Jesus' vocation was, what he was raised to do? Carpenter. Yeah, Joseph was a carpenter. He would have taught Jesus how to do that. And Joseph is gone now. Jesus, being the oldest in the family, would be supporting his family. And he had other siblings. So Jesus, I can imagine the furniture or the things that Jesus built were pretty good. Can you imagine that? He created the wood that he was making these pieces of furniture out of. Peter is more or less saying, you're good, you know, at what you do, Lord. You're a good teacher. Probably he's intimating that you're a good, probably a good carpenter, but I'm a fisherman. Jesus, I'm a fisherman. I know how to fish. I know how to catch fish. And it's not working. We went last night, didn't catch a thing. We're following all the basic principles of fishing. And it's not working, Lord. It's not working at all. But this is his response. He didn't come out and say that directly. He said, Master, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets. Now, cleaning nets is a messy job, slimy, dirty, but they would do that faithfully. They wanted their nets to last, and they've just cleaned them. And now Jesus is telling them to go out with the nets they just cleaned. So here's a carpenter telling you to go back out when you've had no luck, and you're the fisherman, you know all about fishing. So in verse 6, and when they had done this, they caught a great quantity of fish. How great a quantity of fish? So great that their nets started to tear. Verse 7, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. So they're out in the deeper water, but they can still signal to shore. And their partners come out to help them. And they came and filled both of the boats with fish. To the point, so much so, that the boats were even sinking. Can you fathom that? This carpenter has told them to do something that defies logic, and here they are with the greatest catch they'll ever have. Unbelievable. I mean, I'm not a fisherman, but I'm sure it would be exciting. And there's Jesus in the boat with them, and I'm sure he's helping them get these fish into the boat. And the boat started to sink. It is such an exciting time. If you've seen anyone catch a big fish, you've seen videos of it, they're very excited. Well, I can imagine that Peter, James, and John, and the others are pretty excited. Verse 8, Peter's starting to analyze things. He's excited in the moment, got all these fish. And verse 8, something hits him. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. What did he just realize? What did Peter, all the excitement of the fish, and all of a sudden, he looks at Jesus and just drops. What did he just realize? He realized who Jesus really is. Not rabbi, not teacher, not master, but Lord. Who is this man that can command the fish to jump into a net? The creator of all things. And he just drops to his knees. In humility, he realized he's just a man. Have we ever come to that point? Have you ever come to that point? Where you have just dropped to Jesus' knees and confessed that you're just a human, a sinful human being. That's what Peter's come to the realization of. He has become a follower of Jesus, but he's still out there fishing, earning a living. And then he follows Jesus. But now something's hit him. It's gotten into his head. And now it's into his heart. Verse 9. For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. Verse 10. And likewise also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not fear. We've heard this in Luke before. Do not fear. Mary, the angel appears to her. Do not fear. The shepherds on the hillside, imagine a multitude of angels appearing. Do not fear. Peter, do not fear. From now on, you will be catching people. I will make you fishers of men. What a vocation. So Peter, this great fisherman, James and John, had their own business, and they're going to give that up. Jesus is calling them to turn away from fishing for fish to fishing for men. Would it come true? Would they be fishers of men? Well, the next verse says, they gave up everything. In verse 11, when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Now they were all in. They'd followed him before, but they kept fishing. Now they're leaving everything behind. James and John's father, Zebedee, would have been there. He probably helped clean everything up, get those fish to market. By the way, those fish would provide for those disciples' families for a long time. The greatest fish that was ever caught up to that point, and that would supply their family's needs for a long, long time so that they could actually follow Jesus. And they would have faith to follow Jesus after that point in time. They just left everything behind. Did they become fishers of men? In Acts 2, could you turn to Acts 2, verse 36, please? Acts is written by the same man, Luke, Dr. Luke, who compiled his book, his books, Luke and Acts, very brilliantly written. Luke, he would write from remembrances of people that he met. In Acts, he's writing, verse 36, chapter 2. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah, the Messiah that they've been looking for. Who's speaking these words? I wonder who this, Jesus has gone back to heaven. This is Peter speaking. And he's going right at the very people that crucified Jesus. He's going right at them. He's not afraid anymore. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, Repent. Repent means to turn away from your sins. Be sorry for your sins and repent. And we all have to do that. If we want to belong to Jesus, we have to repent. And be baptized, every one of you. And baptism, you don't need to be baptized to be saved, but everybody was baptized back then. As soon as they were saved, as soon as they repented, they would be baptized. And I'm sure in a room this size, there are some of you that maybe have repented and followed Jesus, but maybe haven't been baptized. And that's something you should consider doing. Baptism was just a gimme in the Bible. That was just something you did. Didn't give you salvation, but it was something you did to show you were following Jesus. So repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Now listen to verse 41. Jesus made him a fisher of men. He's got this big speech. He's going right at the people, the very people who helped crucify Jesus. And verse 41 is a result. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. The nets were breaking. 3,000 people. That'd be wonderful. Capernaum wasn't a big city. Sterling's not a big city either. But that day, 3,000 people were added. Peter had become a fisher of men. Just go over to chapter 4, verse 3. Chapter 4, it's another incident. Verse 3, they seized Peter and John, and they knew this was coming. When you go at the people and attack them for crucifying Jesus, the very people that did it, you know that it's not going to go smoothly all the time. Verse 3 of chapter 4, they seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so that the number of men, this is just the men, who believed grew to about 5,000. Peter, in his obedience to follow Jesus, became a fisher of men. He had seen when Jesus took over his fishing. He knew all about fishing, but when Jesus took over, the nets were full to breaking, sinking the boats. He knew to be a fisher of men, you follow what Jesus tells you to do. And he did that. And the people were coming in droves to follow Jesus. And this is where the early church started. The early church was Jewish. Think about that. The nation of Israel isn't known as a Christian nation, but that's where Jesus Christ started his church, amongst the Jewish people. And we're up to about 5,000 people very, very quickly. So I'd like to encourage you. Have you ever acknowledged Jesus Christ? Like Peter did. Peter came to the realization, went to, boom, Jesus is a good teacher. No, Jesus is the one who created all things. He has control of everything. He's the Messiah. He is God in human form. Realize who he really is. And drop to your knees, be baptized to follow him. And one other thing, there are two things that they did in the early church that were givemes. It didn't give you salvation. Repenting and following Jesus gave you salvation. But they were baptized. The other thing is, every Sunday, the early church met and they remembered the Lord. They broke bread and remembered in the wine also. Now, those people saw Jesus and walked with Jesus, and yet they needed to be reminded every week. I encourage you, this church, I commend this church for having that remembrance service every week. And it was 9:45 this morning that they met and they gave thanks to the Lord, passed the bread and the wine in remembrance of what the Lord Jesus has done for us at Calvary. So thank you for this, the leadership of this church, for continuing doing that. Now there's some other things that I would like to point out to you, maybe some practical things. On my phone, and most of us have phones now, and I've mentioned this to you before, but I have my Bible right here. And I can go right through. There's all kinds of versions, and you can find any version that you like, and you can just go and read whenever you want. The other thing that's really nice,
Luke chapter 5.
It reads to you.
As Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening.
So you can have it. When I shave in the morning, I have a speaker in my bathroom, so I can be listening to sermons or I can be listening to scripture being read. And when I'm having my shower, I can be doing the same thing. I'd encourage you to get this Bible app on your phone and use it. It's very easy to use, very simple to use. The other thing that I just discovered last week is something that helped me a lot as a teenager. Up at Graphite Bible Camp, Boyd Robinson, I don't know if you know him, he would run Young People's. And what we would do for study is get Emmaus Bible courses, little booklets, and we would read the lesson and then answer the questions. Well, guess what? It's now online. And there are so many good Bible studies. Whatever level you are at, You can take out your phone, go on to the Emmaus Bible course, and get a course for you to study, and actually get credit for these courses. So I was so encouraged when I found that out 2 weeks ago. Now, I've been involved at Graphite Bible Camp. I've been on the board for 33 years plus, and I've been helping out there for 40, 45 years, something like that, more than 45 years. And now I'm involved at Hope Valley, a sister camp. How many know where Hope Valley Day Camp is? Anybody? A few people. Out of Lakefield, Peterborough Lakefield area. And so I was unexpectedly invited to go there, and I thought, let's try it. And I walk in, I'm a math teacher, and the night before camp starts on Monday, I get there Sunday night, and they announce to me, you're the office manager. Okay, I'm the office manager. So that's what I've been doing there, and I do the Bible stories for 8 and unders. Now, I'm a math teacher for high school students, and here I am teaching Bible lessons to 8 and unders. And I have those Bible felts that I use, and that just draws the kids in. You put the sky up, and you've seen those probably somewhere along the line. The kids just love them. So it's been very blessed ministry to be able to be part of that. So the Emmaus courses, I'm thinking, we're always thinking, what can we give these kids? You know, we get them for 2 weeks, and then they're gone. And I knew that because I'd get the kids at Graphite and teach them the Bible lessons, and then I'd go to school and I'd see them. And I ran a Christian fellowship for years there, and you try to encourage them, but you see some of them just, they need something more. And this Emmaus Bible course, I encourage you to get involved in that. I don't care what level of Bible study you're at, get involved in those. They're free, and they are very helpful, educational, help you grow. So there's the Bible app, Emmaus Bible courses, and one other thing that our church has just started to do is an Alpha course. It's an introductory course to the Bible for friends. And I've heard of it. My parents have run it from their house before, and our church is doing it Tuesday nights. And I invited, the Lord laid on my heart, the tennis pro in town that I play tennis with. And he mentioned something. He knew I'm a Christian, and he mentioned that his son's going to church. And I thought, oh, there's something in Peter that's, his name's Peter too. He said that there's an interest there. So I invited him, and he gladly accepted, and he's been coming out to Alpha and just gobbling it up. And the other person, Mr. Inglis, the history teacher from the high school, he taught me grade 10, and then I taught with him for years. So I invited him. I've been driving him to medical appointments, and he happily accepted. He's been coming out and told me yesterday how he's looking forward to this Tuesday. And then there was a girl that I taught that was terribly in terrible situation, and I connected with her in the community after that. And I thought, she needs the Lord, and she went to Graphite. And so I invited her too, and she's been coming out. So 3 of them have been coming out and loving this Alpha study, and we sit around after the video, and it's all on YouTube, sit around after the video and just talk about things. And it's really opening up doors. So 3 things, practical things I'd suggest for you people. You know, 1, get the Bible app, and I can help you with that. Just get in touch with me. The second thing is the Emmaus Bible courses, and 3, the Alpha course. If you can get involved in something like that, maybe this church could help. There's other ones out there too. Exploring Christianity is another course that does that. Peter came to the realization of who Jesus really is. Have you hit that point in your life? And what are you going to do with that realization? Here's a group of people that go out and sing, use their gifting to spread God's word. That's not everybody's giftings. We all have different giftings. Be listening to how God is speaking to your heart to reach out to your community and touch other people's lives. Father, we thank you so much for this group of people that you have brought here. It's no accident. There was no accident when the nets went over that side of the boat that they just filled up with fish. You're in complete charge then. You're in complete charge now. Help us be obedient. Peter was so reluctant, so reluctant. Yeah, I'm the fisherman, you're the carpenter, but I'll do what you say anyway. That just little bit of faith was greatly rewarded. And then you made him fishers of men. Lord, make us fishers of men too. We want to see this world change for you. We want to see Sterling community affected by this chapel, by the Christians in this room. Use us all for your honor and glory. Help us bring in nets filled with people, Lord, because we don't know how much time's left. Things are really changing quickly in this crazy world, and we've got to be ready, and this community has to be ready. So guide us, use us for your honor and glory. Thank you so much for what the Lord Jesus accomplished for us at the cross of Calvary, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.